I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
We are supposed to have our constitutional right of the freedom to film, to be a member of the press. I don't feel like I have my First Amendment right as a member of the press because now federal agents are at my door arresting me for filming the church protest a few weeks ago.
Press freedom groups are expressing alarm after federal agents arrested two journalists, Georgia Fort and former CNN host Don Lemon, for covering a protest inside a St. Paul church where a top ICE official serves as pastor. We'll speak to Georgia Fort, then hear voices from another major protest in Minneapolis, part of a nationwide general strike against ICE. Then the Justice Department releases 3 million more pages of documents related to the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. But the DOJ is still holding back over 2 million more pages, despite a law requiring everything be released.
Today's release marks the end of a very comprehensive document identification and review process to ensure transparency to the American people and compliance with the act. The department has engaged in an unprecedented and extensive effort to do so.
We'll speak to a lawyer for Epstein survivors and the journalist Vicky Ward. And we'll look at the FBI's raid on the election office in Fulton County, Georgia, as President Trump continues to falsely claim he won the 2020 election. We'll speak to Ari Berman of Mother Jones. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A federal judge in Minnesota denied a request by state officials to temporarily block the surge of 3,000 federal immigration agents that led to the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preti in Minneapolis. Federal Judge Kate Menendez, who was appointed by President Biden, said in a ruling, quote, "A proclamation that Operation Metro Surge has simply gone so far on the other side of the line is a thin reed on which to base a preliminary injunction," unquote. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey denounced the ruling, saying, quote, "This decision doesn't change what people here have lived through, fear, disruption, and harm caused by a federal operation that never belonged in Minneapolis in the first place," unquote. Attorney General Pam Bondi posted on X, calling the ruling, quote, "a huge legal win for the Trump administration." Meanwhile, ProPublica identified the two federal immigration agents in Alex Preti's fatal shooting, 43-year-old Jesus Ochoa and 35-year-old Raimundo Gutierrez. CBP has refused to release their names and has disclosed little information about Preti's killing. It comes as Minnesota Public Radio is reporting the police chief in the city of St. Peter intervened to prevent federal immigration agents from detaining a local resident who's a U.S. citizen. The woman was tracking and recording federal agents in her car. In a video she shared with Minnesota Public Radio, federal agents chased the woman, then got out in front of her, forcing her out of her car with guns drawn. The agents then pinned her down and handcuffed her before detaining her. She was later released when the local police chief got involved. It's the first time a police department in Minnesota intervened in federal immigration activity since the surge of federal agents began in Minnesota 2 months ago. Former CNN anchor Don Lemon and independent journalist Georgia Fort were arrested last week on federal charges for reporting on a peaceful protest inside a St. Paul church where a top ICE official serves as a pastor. A federal grand jury indicted Fort and Lemon for interrupting church service and depriving congregants of their religious freedom. Lemon and Fort maintained they were not participating in the protest, but were reporting as journalists. They were released from federal custody Friday and vowed to fight the charges and keep reporting. This is Georgia Fort speaking shortly after she was released.
I would challenge every journalist in America to ask themselves how it felt to them today to see their colleagues be arrested for reporting the news. And if any of them say that it made them fearful, it made them concerned, it made them second guess going out tomorrow and covering what's happening in their communities, then yeah, I would say that that was probably the intent.
We'll speak with Georgia Fort after headlines. In more related news, 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and his father reunited with family members in Minnesota Sunday after they were released from an ICE family jail in Texas amidst mounting pressure from activists and elected officials. Texas Congressmember Joaquin Castro shared footage on social media as he welcomed Liam and his father, Adrian Conejo, outside ICE's South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley and flew them home to Minneapolis. Liam and his dad were detained in a suburb of Minneapolis last month. Images of Liam went viral after he was picked up by federal agents while still wearing his Spider-Man backpack and a blue hat with bunny ears. Castro visited Liam and his father inside Dilley last week as protests intensified, demanding Liam's release, as well as the release of all immigrant families detained in Dilley, where children and their parents led a protest last weekend over inhumane conditions. Congressmember Ilhan Omar later posted a photo with Liam and his father with a caption that read in part, quote, "Liam is home now." He was wearing his bunny ears again. According to the Marshall Project, the Trump administration detains around 170 immigrant children on average per day, compared to 25 children a day under President Joe Biden. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets this weekend as nationwide protests continue against Trump's immigration crackdown and escalating militarization. More than 300 anti-ICE protests were held across the United States Friday, including in Minneapolis, New York, Washington, D.C., Tucson, Arizona, and dozens of other cities. Chants of "abolish ICE" and "no ICE, no KKK, no fascist USA" echoed across the country. Thousands of others also participated in a nationwide general strike Friday. This is a protester in San Francisco.
I hope what happens is that more people will wake up. It's true that peaceful protests, nonviolent protests, is what brings down dictatorships. There's a huge sacrifice for that, but that's what we need to do, and people need to wake up to this.
Reports have emerged of demoted Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino allegedly making offensive remarks about the Jewish faith of Minnesota's U.S. Attorney Daniel Rosen. That's according to the New York Times, which said Bovino's comments were made during a phone call with Minnesota prosecutors earlier this month. Bovino reportedly mocked Rosen for observing Shabbat, the Jewish Sabbath, and used the term "chosen people" in a sarcastic way. The call reportedly came as Bovino attempted to pressure Rosen to more harshly criminally prosecute protesters Bovino accused of allegedly obstructing federal agents from enforcing Trump's mass immigration raids. Rosen was absent from the call, and Bovino complained he'd been hard to reach because of Shabbat. This comes as details have emerged of Bovino being compared to a Confederate general in an email sent to him by a colleague in 2018. At the time, two Border Patrol agents sued Bovino, accusing him of discrimination and obstructing the promotion of Black and Latino agents within Customs and Border Protection. The city of Chicago has ordered local law enforcement to investigate and document reports of illegal activity conducted by federal immigration agents. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson issued the executive order this weekend as tensions continue to rise with the Trump administration over federal immigration operations. Johnson wrote on social media, quote, "Nobody's above the law. With today's order, we're putting ICE on notice in our city. Chicago's leading the way as the first city to create infrastructure for holding ICE and CBP agents accountable for crimes against our communities," Mayor Johnson wrote on X. The Justice Department has released over 3 million pages of the Epstein files. Deputy U.S. Attorney General Todd Blanche says the review was over and that it's unlikely anyone else will be prosecuted. The Wall Street Journal reports the names of 43 survivors were left unredacted in the files that were made public. According to the Wall Street Journal, more than two dozen names of survivors who were minors are exposed in the filings, along with identifying details that make them readily traceable, including home addresses. The release of the document sheds more light on the late convicted sex offenders' ties to Hollywood elites, CEOs, and government officials. For instance, Epstein had used his contacts to arrange meetings for Steve Bannon with European government leaders. The two men had dinner together often, and Epstein had offered Bannon to stay at his Paris apartment, his Palm Beach house, and use his private plane on multiple occasions. The DOJ also released photos of Brett Ratner, the director of Melania Trump's Amazon film, with Epstein and several young women. Ratner was accused by six women of sexual impropriety in 2017. We'll have more on the Epstein files later in the broadcast with the journalist who's covered Jeffrey Epstein and a lawyer for Epstein survivors. In Gaza, Israeli forces will reportedly reopen the Rafah crossing into Egypt for only 6 hours a day and enforce strict travel restrictions on Palestinians. The Rafah crossing has been shuttered for 2 years due to Israel's war and blockade and is being reopened as part of the so-called ceasefire brokered by the Trump administration between Israel and Hamas. Tens of thousands of sick and severely wounded Palestinians, including children, are eagerly waiting to leave Gaza for urgent medical care. Within the new restrictions, 150 people will be allowed to leave Gaza through the southern Rafah crossing, and 50 people will be permitted to enter the territory. That's according to Al Jazeera. Gaza health officials estimate over 1,200 Palestinians have died in Gaza while waiting for medical transfer due to Israel's closure of the Rafah crossing. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera reports some 12,000 medical staff in Egypt are preparing to receive medical evacuees from Gaza, with hundreds of hospitals and ambulances ready to treat Palestinian patients, among them children who've lost limbs in Israeli strikes. This is Mohammed Mahdi from Khan Yunis, who is getting ready to evacuate Gaza with a patient.
It feels like a dream, especially as my father. We had lost hope of him receiving treatment. And then they suddenly called us and told him to come to receive treatment and travel. This system is a dream. A dream, I swear.
This comes as Israeli forces continue their strikes across Gaza, killing at least 30 people, including six children this weekend, in violation of the ceasefire. Some of the victims were taking shelter in tents. This was reportedly one of the deadliest Israeli airstrikes on Gaza in months. In Iran, authorities arrested Mehdi Mahmoudian, who was nominated for an Oscar for co-writing the screenplay for Jafar Panahi's acclaimed film, It Was Just an Accident. The arrest comes as Mahmoudian signed a public statement condemning Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. The statement also denounced the crackdown on anti-government protesters, saying, quote, the mass and systematic killing of citizens who bravely took to the streets to bring an end to an illegitimate regime constitutes an organized state crime against humanity, unquote. Meanwhile, Erfan Soltani, who was reportedly sentenced to death for participating in anti-government protests, was released on bail, according to human rights groups. In Texas, Democrats flipped a state Senate seat and picked up an additional congressional seat in a special election. Democrat Christian Menefee won the special election runoff Saturday for Texas's 8th congressional district, narrowing Republicans' majority in the House to just 4 seats. Meanwhile, in a race for Texas state Senate, Democrat Taylor Remmett flipped a district that President Trump had won by 17 percentage points in 2024. President Trump announced he's closing the Kennedy Center for 2 years for renovations. It comes as President Trump's hand-picked board of trustees added his name to the Kennedy Center's building back in December, leading to a wave of artist boycotts. CNN's reporting Kennedy Center staff found out about the closure through President Trump's social media post about the renovation. It comes as the Kennedy Center currently lists no scheduled events to honor Black History Month after several artists canceled their events to protest President Trump's takeover. An artist attending the Grammys last night wore anti-ICE pins, while others used their victory speeches to speak out against President Trump's mass raids and deportations. Among them, Bad Bunny, who took home three awards, including Album of the Year, making history as the first Spanish language album to win in that category. Bad Bunny's from Puerto Rico. He'll be performing in the Super Bowl halftime show next weekend. This is part of his Grammy speech last night.
Before I say thanks to God, I'm going to say eyes out. We're not savage, we're not animals, we're not aliens, we are humans, and we are Americans. Also, I want to say to the people, I know it's tough to know, not to hate on these days, and I was thinking, sometime we get contaminados. I don't know how to say that in English. The hate get more powerful with more hate. The only thing that is more powerful than hate is love.
And this is singer-songwriter Billie Eilish, who won for Best Song of the Year.
As grateful as I feel, I honestly don't feel like I need to say anything, but that no one is illegal on stolen land. And yeah, it's just really hard to know what to say and what to do right now. And I feel really hopeful in this room, and I feel like we just need to keep fighting and speaking up and protesting, and our voices really do matter, and the people matter.
After Eilish received her Grammy, Trevor Noah said, "That's a Grammy that every artist wants almost as much as Trump wants Greenland, which makes sense because Epstein's island is gone. He needs a new one to hang out with Bill Clinton," Noah said. And President Trump on social media threatened to sue him. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show looking at the arrests of two journalists for covering a protest at the city's church in St. Paul, where a top official, ICE official, serves as pastor. Former CNN anchor Don Lemon and independent journalist Georgia Fort from the Twin Cities were released Friday after initial court hearings. A federal grand jury in Minnesota indicted Lemon and Fort for violating two laws. An 1871 law originally designed to combat the Ku Klux Klan, and the FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which was written to protect abortion clinics. The indictment names a total of nine people, including the two journalists. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi took personal credit for the arrests of Ford and Lemon and two others on Friday, posting on X that the arrests occurred at her direction. Don Lemon, who was arrested late Thursday night by the FBI in Los Angeles, had been reporting on the church protest in St. Paul in January as an independent journalist. His attorney, Abby Lowell, described the arrest as a, quote, unprecedented attack on the First Amendment and transparent attempt to distract attention from the many crises facing this administration, Lowell said. On Friday afternoon, Don Lemon vowed to continue reporting after appearing in court in Los Angeles.
I have spent my entire career covering the news. I will not stop now. In fact, there is no more important time than right now, this very moment, for a free and independent media that shines a light on and holds those who are accountable. Again, I will not stop now. I will not stop ever. The First Amendment of the Constitution protects that work for me and for countless of other journalists who do what I do. I stand with all of them, and I will not be silenced. I look forward to my day in court. Thank you all.
Don Lemon attended the Grammys Sunday night. Also arrested Friday was Georgia Ford, an independent journalist from the Twin Cities. She posted a video to Facebook just as federal agents from the Drug Enforcement Administration were about to arrest her and take her to the Whipple Federal Building in Minneapolis.
I wanted to alert the public that agents are at my door right now. They're saying that they were able to go before a grand jury sometime, I guess, in the last 24 hours, and that they have a warrant for my arrest. I've talked to my attorney, and I'm being advised to go with them, I guess, down to Whipple. And my children are here. They're impacted by this. This is all stemming from the fact that I filmed a protest as a member of the media. We are supposed to have our constitutional right of the freedom to film, to be a member of the press. I don't feel like I have my First Amendment right as a member of the press, because now federal agents are at my door arresting me for filming the church protest a few weeks ago.
For more, we're joined now from Minneapolis by that longtime independent journalist, Georgia Fort, whose reporting has been recognized with three Midwest Emmys. Welcome to Democracy Now! We thank you so much for being with us, Georgia. Explain what happened next. You have agents at your door, and then what happened?
Good morning, Amy. My home was surrounded by about two dozen federal agents, including agents from DEA and HSI. I asked to see the warrant. My mother was here. My mother asked to see the warrant. They did show us an arrest warrant, which was then sent to my attorney, who verified its legitimacy. Since it was an arrest warrant, we decided that it would be safest for me to exit through the garage so that we could lock the door to our home behind me. And so I surrendered. I walked out of my garage with my hands up, and I asked the agents who were there to arrest me if they knew that I was a member of the press. They said they did know that I was a member of the press. I informed them that this was a violation of my constitutional right, the First Amendment. And they told me, you know, we're just here to do our job. And I said, I was just doing my job, and now I'm being arrested for it. And so by about 6:30 a.m., they had me in cuffs in the back of the vehicle. We were headed to Whipple. What I later learned after I was released is that these agents stayed outside of my home for more than 2 hours. And when my 17-year-old daughter felt, you know, threatened, felt scared that these agents weren't leaving, she decided that it would be safer for her to drive to a relative's home. And so she loaded up her sisters, who are 7 and 8, and they went to leave somewhere where they could go and feel safe. And these agents stopped my children on their way trying to leave because they were scared that these agents were not leaving, even after 2 hours of me being apprehended. My husband also, he was trailing them. He drove out at the same time that they drove out. They stopped him, questioning him, asking them if they were taking my belongings away when they were simply trying to leave, because no one could understand if I was arrested at 6:30 in the morning, why were all of these agents still just sitting outside of my home at 8:30, 9 a.m.?
And so how long were you held? And if you could respond to the charges that were brought against you, ironically, violating an 1871 law originally designed to take on the Ku Klux Klan, and the FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which is supposed to protect abortion clinics and people going into them for health care.
Well, Amy, to answer your first question, I was detained at Whipple for several hours. Then I was transferred to the U.S. Marshals prison, which is connected to the federal courthouse. So I was at Whipple for maybe 2 or 3 hours,
and then transferred to this other facility. I had to be booked into both of them. They collected my DNA. They collected my fingerprints at both of those facilities. And then by 1:30, I was able to go before a judge who did approve my release under normal conditions until this case continues to play out in court. And so I ended up being released by the afternoon, I think about maybe by about 3 o'clock the same day. Now, in terms of the charges that I am facing, I think it's really absurd to weaponize a law that was meant to protect Black people and weaponize it against Black people, specifically members of the press. We are at a critical time in this country when you have members of the press, award-winning journalists, who are simply showing up in their capacity to cover the news, being arrested for doing their jobs. I think I wouldn't be the first person to say this, but we're having a constitutional crisis. If our First Amendment rights, if our constitutional rights cannot be withheld in this moment, then what does it say about the merit of our Constitution? And that was the question that I asked right after I was released. Do we have a Constitution? If there are no consequences for the violation of our Constitution, what strength does it really have? What does it say about the state and the health of our democracy?
Two judges said that you, the journalists, and specifically dealing with Don Lemon, should not be arrested. And yet, ultimately, Pam Bondi took this to a grand jury.
It goes back to the merit of our Constitution. Who has power in this moment? And I think what we're seeing here in Minnesota is the people are continuing to stand. They are continuing to demand that our Constitution be upheld. I believe that journalism is not a crime. And it's not just my belief. It's my constitutional right as an American. And so I'm hopeful that I have a extremely great legal team. And so we'll continue to go through this. But, you know, I'd ask the question. I think you played the clip earlier. What message does this send to journalists across the country who are simply doing their jobs, documenting what is happening? But the reality is, when you're out documenting what's happening, you are creating a record that can either incriminate or exonerate someone. And so what we do has so much power, especially in these times. And so I believe that is why journalism is under attack. Media is under attack. This would not be the first time in the last 12 months where we have seen a tremendous force come against people who are speaking truth to power on their platforms. Jimmy Kimmel was pulled off air. The nation was outraged about it. There was a segment that was supposed to air on 60 Minutes that was pulled. This isn't the first time. I mean, and we can even historically
go that back. Too there ultimately was played after enormous outcry only recently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, we could even go back further and look at the recent, you know, exodus of Black women in mainstream media. Joy Reid, Tiffany Cross, Melissa Harris Perry, April Ryan. So there has been, this is not new in terms of the attack on media and journalism, the attack on Black women who are documenting what's happening. And so I will say, I am extremely grateful. The National Association of Black Journalists issued a statement on behalf of myself and Don Lemon, which was signed by dozens of other journalism agencies and institutions. I am the vice president of my local chapter. We saw the International Women's Alliance of Media issue a statement. We saw our local media outlets here, Star Tribune, NPR, Minnesota Reformer, Minnesota Spokesman, Recorder, and Sahan Journal. So many media and journalism institutions standing up and speaking out against this attack on the free press and the violation of our constitutional right.
Well, Georgia.